Hello, you're listening to Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today's episode is on pretty much a game changer of a news bit that was released this week. I kind of covered it in a video on our YouTube channel, but I kind of figured it would be really interesting to get Chris's perspective in this because this is kind of a big deal. If everything that is being stated behind this new project is real, this could really change exactly how we see anime being produced. Now, granted, arguments have been made already, and I kind of follow them, that it's just a different way of doing a production committee, but I think it is hopefully a huge game changer on exactly how anime is put together and potentially could benefit to a lot of the issues that we have in the anime sphere. I mean, Chris, what is the biggest thing you hear about in Japan when anime is being made that everybody really, really hates?
Animators don't get paid.
Bingo. Yeah, I was hoping you were going to say that and not something else like you usually do. Every time I do that, like, hey, Chris, what do you think this? Yeah, that too, but what else? And then like five times later, animators, Chris, they don't get paid very well. But yes, all those other ones are good too. But yeah, I mean, obviously, it sucks, too, because it's one of those things where you see how badly animators are paid. I mean, this is something that is not a secret to anybody. And it really is something that makes you feel bad for enjoying the thing you enjoy. I mean, it was the same when Wonder Egg Priority was airing. And I'm going to bring up Wonder Egg Priority a lot because it's kind of significant in this particular news bit. But I'm saying news bit a lot. I say that with the videos. I don't have to say it here on the podcast. But when I was watching Wonder Egg Priority, I'm like, I love this show so much. It looks so amazing. I love the animation. I love pretty much everything about it except for the last episode. But it's like you feel bad because you're like, and then you realize at the same time you're hearing about all the animators and stuff that are being overworked. They're not getting time off. They're literally sleeping at their desks. And everything seemed to be poorly planned. And the expectations and the, what was it? How did they say it? It was something specifically like, Their ambitions were too high for what they could do. Like, they wanted to give the world, but they couldn't do it. That was the same thing with one of the episodes here recently of My Hero Academia. They had released their rough sketches on the Twitter, and everybody was saying that it was, you know, this company's fault. It was this company's fault that they weren't able to do what they wanted to do. And it's like, no. He literally says, look, I was trying to do this, and I could not do it. I had too high of ambitions for what I wanted in the scene. And it looked incredible. But they couldn't finalize it. It would have taken way too much time to get it done. Hopefully it gets in the Blu-ray or whatever, but yeah. Anyway, that's a long statement to say that I really do think what we're seeing possibly with this recent news that released, that we could see a possible change. To get it out of the way, because I am going to build into it, the news is that CloverWorks, Stuit Studio, Aniplex, and Shueisha have basically all together formed a new company. They didn't shut down their companies. Don't get me wrong. Shueisha is not going to give up their company. They make a lot of money. They don't need to form a new company. And Aniplex the same way. And Aniplex and CloverWorks is technically of Sony. They don't need to become a new company. What they're doing is they're each putting forth money and staff to create a new company called Joen. Or Join. J-O-E-N. they say it's supposed to be like a shoot off of Join, like Join Us, but Join. But anyways, this new company essentially has a lot of promises given to it. And like I said earlier, yes, a joke is that this new company is going to be pretty much a production committee. Like almost like a, it could be essentially a permanent production committee for these studios, but I would assume that it's just going to be a production committee. Like this is their own developed and managed group that will handle a lot of things around deviating out work, essentially. And why I think this is such a huge deal is because a lot of the promises lead me to believe something. Now, we don't know a lot of the details about it, but there's a lot of exciting stuff behind this. Because, like I said earlier, essentially right now, what we currently have is you have sort of a, what would it be, like a four, maybe a three-tier system where you have a company that is a publisher, typically, most of the time, like 99% of the time, it's a manga publishing company or a light novel publishing company that's like, we need to sell more of these volumes, or we're going to do reprint, or we got new volumes coming out. We need to stir up excitement around this particular property. So they'll go and they'll put together a production committee. And these production committees are typically a multiple companies that come together that all pitch in money with say-so in the project to get an adaptation done. The big thing that we noted back when Grimgar Fantasy Nash got an anime adaptation, we had the publisher was involved. We had King Records or something like that, the company behind No Name, the band, they were involved. So you had things put in there. Like you had a bunch of, literally the whole soundtrack was No Name because they were advertising their brand. They were putting in money to make it adapted and they were wanting their brand in there. And then, of course, yes, obviously the publisher of Grimgar Fantasy Nash is getting something out of it because they're adapting their story. So everybody pitches in, and then they find a studio, and they pay that studio to adapt it. And then you get the studio comes in, and they go, okay, well, let's make this, and they animate it, and they put it together, and they release it. But the problem there is that you essentially have all the benefit technically going to the record company, and it's going to the publisher of the light novel. Obviously, it's their money. They put the money together. They put the money out there. They paid the studio. They get the benefit. They reap the benefit because their light novel selling more. The record's selling really well. No Name's name getting out there. All that kind of stuff. The other side is you'll often have just one publisher. One person is the one that puts forth the project. They put together the studio. They pay for it and everything. And they put it. You have to have an investor somewhere in the line. And you have to have something that you're wanting to sell. Is it an original story? Sometimes studios will try to do their own original stories, and so they'll bring in people to do an original, and the studio itself puts it together. But most of the time, it's a production committee. And the difficulty there is that, again, most of the benefit, most of the money is just going into the original production committee. They're getting all the benefit. The studio is just getting paid this certain amount, and they have to divvy out that money. And like we mostly see, except for cases like maybe Trigger, I'm not sure. I've not really heard anything about Trigger because they're kind of close. They're the closest we got to Kyoto Animation. But Kyoto Animation is like our one example of a company that just is kind of all-encompassing in itself because it has its own publisher. So it's able to produce its own content. It's able to take its own publishing stories and adapt it into anime. So they make a lot of benefit there. And they nurture and take care of their animators. They're kind of an oddity in the anime sphere, and you kind of wish that they all did that, but then you would have to have, yeah, Cloverworks would have to have a publishing group, and they would have to have their own stories coming in. They would have to have their own Kyoto Animation awards thingy for original works and stuff like that, and they don't all have that. So your thoughts on the current setup of how things run, is that... does that line with what your understanding of it all, the whole process is, and where the issues line in?
Yeah, you can't ignore the idea that there is this issue of the, for lack of a better term, the black company / cog in the machine system that they have set up, which is something that when push comes to shove, we don't really quite understand that. As we're a country that is very, very driven by ambition in a lot of cases, we don't quite understand the idea that their culture has cultivated in a lot of cases that type of mentality. where you go, you work yourself to death until, I guess, you win the lottery and get acknowledgement.
Yeah, become a director or something.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, we're driven by the idea of we've earned this. We need to get acknowledgement for that. Hey, you're not acknowledging me. I can go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So
there really isn't much choices when it comes to animation.
Yeah, and that's that one of the
they're all the same.
When it comes down to it, when
that's what I was saying is like if I wanted to work at a company as an animator, I'd be sitting outside of Kyoto Animation all the time, hoping that one day they'll let me in the door. I don't know that I want to work at any of these other companies.
And I'll probably dig into this more later on. But when it comes down to it, we don't understand that mindset mostly because of the fact that we are very ambition driven. We are very merit driven. These companies over there, they are very much top driven, where they are. You do this. If you're not doing that, you stay until you do this. We are the type of us as more merit driven. We do things based on, I do a good job, I should be paid based on how good of a job I do. And if we do not receive that, we tend to more slack. So it goes back and forth. There's good things on both sides. We also have a bad habit of becoming lazy when we don't receive accreditation for our work. Whereas they will put 120% in no matter what they do.
There's probably outliers. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I don't.
We don't want to sound like weebs or something.
No, and I'm trying to balance both sides. Both sides, like I said, have their good points, and both sides have their bad sides.
I'm just talking about the individual.
It's frustrating because of that, and when it comes down to it, that's why, I mean, in one of our streams, I had pointed out the fact that this is an issue that they have to fix, and hopefully something like this will fix that issue. When it comes down to it, we are probably too lax, where they are probably too strict.
Too driven, yeah.
Too driven. And so they tend to not like to make waves, and so it's very hard for them to change themselves.
I mean, there's a lot of really hardworking people over here that would just kind of sacrifice a lot of things for that. But, I mean, there is an understanding over here, at least like I mentioned before several times with this last job that I had, having to help them with the transition to a new software, and I was literally driving up to north over and over again, sleeping in hotels over and over again for this. And there's some people in Japan that are literally living in capsule hotels. Like, we're talking like these little tubes that you slide into and sleep in there because they're cheap. And that's where they live every night. Or they live inside of a cafe because a net cafe because it's the cheapest place to live where they're working constantly. And they don't even see their family. It's like, it's a completely different mindset that I just don't think anybody, really, very few people, with the benefits that you're getting, would even care to even touch, especially in a lot of other countries. It's a different mindset there. And that's the sad thing with it. And I think a lot of them are driven by, at least when we're talking in the perspective of animators, I think a lot of them are driven by the passion they have for what they're doing. They love art. They love animation. They love what they're doing. I've seen so many interviews of animators and key animators and stuff that just, they love what they did, and they love that people enjoy it. They want to create. It's just like your standard artist. Most artists are not going to get paid really much. You're never going to get that moment. Some will possibly find that person that will be their beneficiary, or what do we call it? A patron. And they will finally get that deal. Like, finally, I have a patron that's going to pay me. I can sit in my studio and focus on creating stuff. Or I have a gallery set up that I'm going to be doing, and I can get them out there, and people will buy them for god awful amount of money because they're trying to do something with their taxes. you're hoping for that, and most don't get it. And I think that's kind of a similar mindset they have, is they have a passion for the art. Even if it doesn't pay, they still have that passion for that art. And it's honestly, I have the same feeling right now. Like, I could probably go back to my old job and get played plenty to get all the Eris figures that I want right now, but my hope is that eventually this thing that I'm nurturing will, you know, be fruitful. It may never, or maybe just be barely fruitful, and I'll be happy because at least I'm doing something that I enjoy. Like right now, I feel like an animator. Like I'm barely getting anything out of what I'm doing, but I'm hoping that eventually it'll get to that point where enough people are looking at it that I'm going to be able to support myself. And that's kind of a similar mindset they have.
One of the things that, and I don't know how, at what point do you want to get into a lot of the intricates of this at some point is, maybe I'll just drive it.
You can right now if you want.
Okay. one of the things that I don't think a lot of people take into consideration in a lot of this, and this is kind of going into what Andrew is talking about, what I was trying to point out is when it comes to these players, they are players. I say it, but when it comes down to it, the animators and the people that are doing this job, one of the things that I think a lot of people kind of miss in a lot of this case is when they demand that these companies pay these people more. Other than setting aside the fact that these people are when they're growing up, they know their entire life that they're going to at some point become a cog in the machine. When I say that they have to change it themselves, we can't change them. The way they're looking at it is, you don't understand how our system works. You don't understand this. No matter how much we yell and scream and everything like that, it's their culture. They are, they grow up that way. They know that at some point they're going to be a part of this. So when, like I said, they look at us when we're yelling and screaming, and they're going, "You don't understand who we are. You need to stop." But when on their side, what a lot of people don't realize is, the way the system works, even in our case, an animator or a person who's working, they put out a certain value. That value is matched by some kind of a monetary trade. Now, what should happen is that when they become valuable enough, they should be paid a more monetary value. For whatever reason, their system is set up in such a way that they have basically decided this animation is worth this amount of money, and so they have to be constricted to that amount of money. Now, the problem is that the animators, while they might be pumping out a product that is of higher monetary value, they're still structured in such a way that monetary value is unequal. It's unbalanced. And so we look at it and we go, okay, you made this much money. Why is your animators not getting that amount? It's in the studio's benefit to pay the animator more. I agree. However, the problem is when they look at it, they are, okay, animation should equal this amount of money. No matter what animation it is, it's always going to be worth this much money. It's in the animator's best interest to constantly search around. However, they're not interested in that. They're interested in stability. That's part of the cog in the machine. When I say they have to fix that problem, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, it's also the mindset that if you leave the company, it's very badly looked upon you. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you're the one from that studio. You left them, right? Why would we take you in? It's very frowned upon.
Exactly. And this is all that cog in the machine mindset. They are raised that way. So you, us as somebody who is merit driven, we don't understand that mindset. That's why I say over and over and over again, they have to fix that problem. We can't fix that problem. We can yell and scream and everything all we want. They're the ones who have to change themselves.
I retweeted a tweet that said it's wrong. Didn't I help them fix it? I retweeted something, Chris. I fixed the system.
I wish that our tweets or whatever have you could get to the animators and change their mindset. But when it comes down to it, It's their mindset.
Yeah, I mean,
they have to change it.
We talked here recently about unions. This is one of the rare cases where I would support the idea of all the animators having a collective bargaining, like just get together and really push them. And that's the sad thing is that we don't really know how much is not trickling down. I don't necessarily believe that they're getting, the studio itself is getting paid all that much. And it could be pocketed by the actual, I don't know, the heads of the studio itself. But when you see things like, oh, well, Crunchyroll pays this much per episode for streaming rights. And it's like, it's not going to the studio. Like, they don't own the rights to that. I mean, they might. There's a lot of cases where the studio has rights to sell the streaming of it. But in a lot of cases, that's all going to the production committee. It's not trickling down. But again, things could change. Things could change. But like I said, now, I'm going to, before we get into Joen, I want to preface this with, yes, acknowledgement that this could be all fluff. This could be all a lie. This could be all just a big publicity stunt. I want to believe it. I honestly do. And I think a lot of people want to believe it. I think the idea that there is something that could change how things are done to benefit animators more and the creators more, I think everybody would welcome that with open arms. Obviously, there's the arguments that Aniplex, anything Aniplex touches, breaks. There's the arguments that Shueisha is the evilest company in the world. I mean, we've dealt with that in YouTube. We have arguments that, yeah, Cloverworks has been known in the past for overworking its employees. But I think this aspect of it all coming together could possibly change something. And on the other side, why would you have to use better pay for creators and animators to get excitement around a company when you're talking about Wit Studio, Cloverworks, Shueisha, and Aniplex making a company? Like, you just say those four companies made a company. That's plenty. You don't need to say the rest of the stuff to get excitement around it. It's already a big deal. But yes, I will acknowledge that this could all be fluff. This could be all a big lie. And we'll probably know within a couple of years. We'll probably have animators coming out and saying, because let's be honest, Cloverworks animators are pretty vocal. And Wit Studio animators are pretty vocal. We'll know in no time, because I know these people that are working for these companies are going to be the first ones who want to stand out there and say, they promised us this, and they're not delivering it. Because now they've promised it in multiple language, mind you. They have a website for multiple languages. If they're promising this to the public and they don't deliver, sure as hell we're going to know about it. And at that point, yeah, I believe that we can all stand up and say, we failed again. Like, they failed to fix the situation again.
And it's stuff like that that I think is the first murmurings, and this has been happening for a while now. So it's not just like you were saying, Cloverworks that are the first signs of it. There's been other signs of I believe that things are changing. So don't get me wrong. And I do believe there's going to be crash and fails when it comes down to it. Not everything is set in stone. And this is a thing that a lot of us need to kind of take note of, is that the culture drives the system. So when you see these little tidbits of, like Andrew was saying, Cloverworks is vocal. Well, that's a sign of there is people who are trying to buck the system without breaking it. And this is very important to understand. We need to notice that our system is very different than their system. Our system is already set up in such a way where merit is the most valuable item. These guys, the system itself is the most important. And so they don't mind changing the system, but they have to take it slowly. And this is one of the things that I've pointed out, that it's kind of painful. I don't understand how change in itself.
You mean the idea of not being able to get investors involved if you buck the system too hard, whereas if you put subtle changes, they're more inclined to invest because they can see a benefit, but not a huge shift.
Right, and that's why I was...
Too much of a gamble. This is a small gamble. It's fine.
That's why I was talking about when we were talking about NFTs and stuff like that, and I
careful, Chris,
my head.
Don't talk about NFTs.
I know, right? I scratched my head. I'm absolutely dumbfounded that these companies are jumping all into NFTs, which Japanese as a whole, and I know this is kind of stereotypical talking, but when it comes down to it, they are something that they are on the bleeding edge, and yet at the same time, they don't jump whole hog into something very quickly.
They were bleeding edge for quite a while until they had their economy pretty much crash.
Yeah, they're
and now the ongoing joke is they have fax machines still. It's like every company still has fax machines. Shut up.
it's one of those things that they don't let things go that work. And at the same time, they're very, very much interested in testing the waters on things, but at the same time, they don't go all in. So that's why I brought that up when we were talking about it. I think it's absolutely fascinating that there's that one complete oddity when it comes down to it, because they're very much, we don't mind you changing something, but let's take it very slowly, very methodical. Let's fill it out. Let's test it. Let's make sure that it's going to incorporate into quote unquote our system.
And I think there is a little bit of – there's probably a lot of flexibility in Joen as this new company they're developing. But I think it's also kind of interesting to note that there is a concerted effort amongst the government and the studios to try to find a resolve. Let's be honest. They would love to pay animators really low amounts because it's more profit, obviously. And that's why everybody's upset. But – profits drive future investments, and yes, it allows them to make more money, and they like that. It sucks. It's just no matter what it sucks. But there is an effort to resolve the situation, and you know why that is? Why do they want to fix this issue and get pay better? Because the animation is going out to China, and they know it.
Yeah.
We talked about this a while back. I believe it was actually an actual government meeting on why is this happening? We need to stop this. They don't like the idea that this one thing that is a pretty big, significant market in Japan is essentially going to China. They don't want studios to outsource animation to China. And they were arguing at that point. The Chinese workers were making more money. It didn't make any sense. Like they were divvying out the money better than in Japan. It was boggling people's minds, and they wanted to understand why is this happening. So there is an effort, seemingly. Hopefully, it's not just an effort just to stop them from outsourcing and to continue to low pay, but an effort to see if they can resolve the issue and benefit these animators more. And again, I'm hoping that they're truthful in Joen. And we can see basically the framework being created for something in the future that could benefit animators. And the idea that is if this does well and it still benefits the companies are still making the money they need to make, but maybe the system is so well lubricated and it's so well designed that they can give more money to animators because they have a lot less overhead maybe, a lot less difficulties they're facing, we could see them that be caught interest to multiple companies. And and Joen is opening its doors to multiple studios. They're fine with others getting involved if they feel this project is worth it to them. So let's get into it. We're 30 minutes into the podcast, give or take. So let's finally talk about what is Joen? Everybody's like, what is this thing that you're making an entire podcast? Well, the podcast doesn't really talk about the industry as a whole, let's be honest. But I think the benefits and the changes that we could see based on this is very exciting. So again, we just had an announcement from, again, Sony, who owns Aniplex and Cloverworks, come out. Their joint effort with Shueisha, which, for those who don't know, is a huge publishing company that Shonen Jump, anybody? All the big shonens, basically. They're a publishing company. And then you also had Wit Studio. And all four of those companies came together and made Joen. They all basically funded it. I think it was like 100 million yen that they put forth to as capital for this project, this company. Was it publishers? The two publishers in Wit Studio and Cloverworks are the company's representatives. That's Yuichi Fukushima and Tetsuya Nakatake. Why can't I say that? Nakatake. they're both being the representative directors of it, so that's kind of an interesting thing to note as well. But yeah, what is Joen? This new company that they have formed. On the official website, we essentially have, this is the official website for Joen, the creative company that offers everything from planning to production. What it is, Joen, we are pleased to announce that Cloverworks, Wit Studio, Shueisha, and Aniplex, poor Aniplex is the last one, have combined forces to found a new company focused on production of art and animation. Their approach, Cloverworks and Wit Studio will work together to utilize their strengths to the fullest across the entire production process, from the planning stages to the final product. As we will be involved in every step of the creative process, we will be able to ensure that the final product will be high quality and produced with the values of target business in mind. In addition to our collaboration with Cloverworks and Wit Studio, we also intend to use the industry connections to provide them provided by them to expand our scope and collaborate with various studios, producers, and creators to build a framework that allows us to prioritize those involved in the production process. Rather than moving all processes through a single company, we will seek to match best production lines and creators to each product. In addition, we will also provide aid, financial support, creating an environment for these projects to flourish and more. So before we go on, I think this is probably the only big iffy area that I really have with this entire website. And why I say that is because the way they're laying it out in their approach is that they want to divvy out to different companies, studios, based on what they need. So the idea is that, okay, we have, they want to do basically an approach like we're seeing with Takt Opus. They're doing an approach like Spy Family. This idea that currently with Takt Opus and with Spy Family, what they're doing is they'll have one studio do one episode and the next studio do the next episode. And that's probably what they're talking about. But the idea is to go, okay, well, Cloverworks is really good at doing this type of animation for a scene like this. So let's have them handle this. But Wit Studio would definitely pull off this action scene so much better because they're used to doing things like, I don't know, zipping around in the air around big giants. Let's have them handle that. And why I say that's a concern is that because that's not enough to keep a company going. If they're just going to be throwing different projects, are we talking about full series, or are we talking about just certain portions of episodes? Are they going to be divvying out to each one of them and saying, okay, you handle the first 10 minutes of this episode, you handle the other 12 minutes of this episode, you handle this part of it? It's kind of what it sounds like. And that's, we'll get into more later. That's technically could be a good thing. But again, this is kind of the area where I'm kind of concerned because they're not fully explaining what the process is. They don't have to, for us to get an idea of exactly what this really means. Obviously, again, it is to prioritize to which studio will pull off different things, and creators will pull off things better. Maybe somebody's better at emotion, and they'll need to make sure that creator gets involved with that one. This one's more good at, high action. We want them to handle this part, but I don't know. Again, that's kind of the vagueness that we have in this part of the statement. Thoughts so far?
I don't know. That sounds like it could be a good thing. So on the positive side, I'm going to go ahead and stick to that. On the other side, I would be more concerned about the fact of the idea of, for lack of a better term.
The idea of?
I would want to lean towards that's a good thing. Unfortunately, when it comes down to it, my cynical side also takes into consideration the possibility that that might lead into favoritism. But it is a little too early to kind of decide that. So I'm just going to leave it up in the air that, yeah, it probably is going to be a good thing when it comes down to it. I like the idea of there being a lot of utility and taking advantage of each one's strengths and deciding based on that, that, hey, these guys are good at this, and let's give them this particular project.
And I think when they have the groundwork, character designs and stuff like that, I think it works well, especially if you have maybe the key artist is the same person for both studios. Because we seem like with Spy X Family, it technically works out to have multiple studios working on a project. You don't really notice, like, it's not like we're going from, I don't know, Ufotable style of animation and character designs, and then suddenly the next episode is Shaft character designs and animation. You still have an animator is an animator, and if they have the key artist and the character design is the same, they're going to be able to switch back and forth. I guess my mindset's more, and I hope this doesn't mean there's like a piecemealing that's happening where they're only getting scraps to work on. Yeah, I mean, if you did have a favoritism with Stuart Studio, and just Cloverworks gets maybe a 10-minute segment here, maybe a 10-minute segment in episode 8, and then maybe a 5-minute segment in 12, that's not enough for a company to work. I do believe that these studios are still going to work on other projects. Like, I believe there's still going to be cases. They could. I mean, they could be locked into Joen only, but the mindset is that they're probably still going to have this aspect where Stuart Studio will work on a project from another production committee. It's just, this is going to be a way to kind of keep them at a pace. And they could become to a point where Joen is pulling so much from Shueisha of properties that they don't have to work outside of that. And that's what we're going to get into later on, was my hope, this how this will work, because we don't really have too much of a... We don't have like a map layout of exactly how this process is going to work. But moving on to their vision. This is where the meaty stuff comes from, honestly. Our vision of Joen. Now, more than ever before, high-quality animation is vital to the success of creative works. I've argued before that I think that... the next part says, as such, animation studios have begun to play a greater role in the production process, simultaneously shouldering the growth of demands and expectations that accompany it. I would argue that animation studios have always been the greatest role in production process. They're probably meaning here is that they're probably... This is kind of one of those things where I kind of wonder if it's maybe... slightly mistranslated. I think what they're probably meaning here is that studios are taking on more than they typically do. Like, an old case scenario of a studio is that all they do is animate. Like, they don't care about anything else, no overhead, just give us the project to animate, we'll make it. And now they're trying to bring on more to themselves so that they can make more of that profit, probably. They're trying to bring in more in-house, and again, technically doing their originals, hoping that they, as a studio, will technically make more money. And unfortunately, I think that comes in the role of it doesn't work out in the end. Or they're no longer pulling outside sources for, you know, script writers and stuff like that might be able to pace it better. But that's just my
assumption. You say the company for Jump is involved in this?
Shueisha, yes.
Okay.
Even if the final product, this is continuing on this page, even if the final product or the company that created the said product is successful, it can be difficult to distribute the profits amongst the staff, creators, and involved, and all those involved in the animation studio. This is kind of a interesting statement, honestly, because this is basically a cell phone. like you have to think that Cloverworks and Wit Studio either were not involved with that statement, or they kind of go, yeah, technically true. We kind of suck at that. Like, it's literally saying animation studios suck at paying people properly. Like, we just don't know who to give money to. Like, we're going, all right, we got all the money, guys. What's going on? And everybody kind of crowds around and they go, I think you get paid this much. You get this much. You get this much. And then they get down to, like, the last four people and they only have, like, $2 in their hands. Like, eh. They turn it sideways and they rip it in half and they hand... like four halves out, like they literally don't know what they're doing. And let me be honest, I can kind of agree with that. I mean, granted, businesses know what the standards are, and businesses will know what pays go. They might have people that are working in those positions that don't know what they're doing. It could be. You could have people that are artists becoming leadership roles, and they don't know what they're doing when it comes to money. But typically, they should know what they're doing with their fundings. But I think there is an argument to be made that, yeah, maybe they just don't know how to deviate their... There is companies that don't know how to manage money properly. And that's why they go under half the time. But I think the idea of avoiding paying just to kind of keep the keep profits going in a direction you want it to is why we're here talking about this. Let's be honest. Agree, disagree?
Yeah. One of the most frustrating things about what being an outsider looking in is the fact that you don't know how they're managing those monies. And like Andrew was saying, yeah, you don't know if they just don't know what they're doing in a lot of cases. That's possible. I hate to say that, but it is possible. But I also give a lot of leeway to the idea of, when it comes down to it, we don't know the inner workings. I point at the interesting idea of the I think they call it the key money thing, where it's kind of like a when you go to get an apartment, you have to give effectively a deposit. You just don't get that deposit back when you rent an apartment. There is some cultural aspects to a lot of the things that they do. Japanese are very, very tight with money. So they tend to constantly save for a rainy day. And plus, when you're looking at their economy,
it's always in that jar that's up at the top of the shelf. So if anybody, you didn't hear that from me.
When you look at their economy, you know they're probably scrimping and saving to make sure that they can weather the impending things that are coming down the pipe.
Also, there's a big argument that Nintendo has got this big, huge money bank that they just never touch.
Yeah, it's one of those things that when it comes down to it, you don't. We're outsiders looking in. We don't understand what they are planning on doing in the future. So you may hate them right now for not paying their animators enough right now, but maybe in 2-3 years when we're all hurting and they're still just fine because they've been saving and scrimping and putting all this money aside and they can pay their animators. And we're still hurting. You may like the fact that they did that, but when it comes down to it, my point being is they are, and I'm not justifying what they're doing. I'm saying that we don't understand their mindset. They're doing these things, and they probably are doing these things, and it will work in their favor. I do hope for the best for these guys. I mean, when it comes down to it, I love the idea that these guys are trying to shake up the industry. And in a lot of cases, I'm constantly on about the fact that all these things need a certain amount of not necessarily destruction, but just basically something to shake up the system. Something shaking up the system causes things to change, and we need change. No matter who you are across the board, whether you agree with me or you disagree with me wholeheartedly, when it comes down to it, I agree with everybody. Things need to change. A lot of these people, they need to value their efforts more, and that, when it comes down to it, that I agree with. And the only way that they will force a change is if they value themselves more and they desire more. Because what it comes down to is they have to desire that enough to take the risk to go somewhere else instead of constantly clinging on to that that necessity for stability over their own value.
The hope that eventually all the studios just become Kyoto Animation.
Yeah.
All the animators just leave and they just make like 50 studios, Kyoto and everything. Anyways, now the other direction that I take this statement from, and I'll restate the statement, which is, even if the final product or the company that created the said product is successful, it can be difficult to distribute profit among the staff, creators, and involved in those involved in the animation studio. Now, I'm going to read the next three paragraphs because it's pretty much the same concept here. It's just one big long run. Probably should have been one paragraph. But the other thing that I can think this is stating is the idea of my prediction on what this means. This idea that what they mean here is that, let me give an example here. So Shueisha has a new shonen. It's doing really well. They're like, you know what? We need to start selling more. let's get an animation done. They go to the studios. They say, okay, we're going to put money forward so you can animate these said chapters. And they do it. The studio does a fantastic job. And guess what? It's so popular. It's such a popular animation series. They see like a 500% increase in sales on their manga. The studio sees none of that. Obviously, they got paid. They already got paid. They did their job. They're not privy to what the original brand is. It's not their property. So this could be meaning this idea that the publisher could be more able to go, let's pay these people like a bonus because this did so well. We want to congratulate them for it. And that's where my theory gets into what this whole Joan thing could be. Now let's get into it. This is continuing on the website, obviously.
That's the direction I was going with what I was saying.
Continuing on the website, it says, to bring about change to the present situation, we aim to collaborate with these studios to build a new business model. New business model. It's a pretty bold statement. Wherein profits are directed back to the creators. To nourish the production of high-quality animation, we as a production company would like to lay down the foundation for a long and prosperous future wherein creators can produce animation comfortably. We aspire to introduce a new structure for those involved in the creation of anime or animation by creating an environment that allows for the continuous production of high-quality animation while ensuring the studios and creators are rewarded in line with what they produce. Those last three or four paragraphs, or at least lines, are extremely bold. And this is where I get into this whole idea that, yes, this could all be fluff. But that is, again, like I said earlier, you have Shueisha, Aniplex, Cloverworks, Wit Studio, all creating this company with that statement. If they don't deliver, like I said, in about at least 2 years, people are going to know, because this is a bold promise to make and a bold statement to make. And if they don't follow that up, we got to know. And so I'm hoping that they will deliver, because they're saying they're going to deliver and they will be held accountable. No doubt. Like I said, there's plenty of people out there that are very vocal.
I don't know that that's an odd one. I'm absolutely, my mind is absolutely.
Are you okay?
My brain is absolutely broken on that one. That is.
Which one?
This is one of those things that you take into consideration how the system is right now. With Shueisha on this team, this puts a massive wrench in the entire system. So please take what I'm saying at face value. Currently, the way I am under the understanding of how the system works, a new mangaka is found. Producer finds them, decides, hey, we want to make your manga.
Publisher.
Publisher, whatever. They start to create the manga. They sell the manga. The producer makes money. Mangaka gets.
I want to get the terminology right, because I don't want to confuse people.
Mangaka gets a royalty of some sort,
if they're lucky.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. My point is they're getting some kind of a.
That's a whole other argument, people. We're not getting into that right now. That's a whole other discussion.
My point is that now, publisher decides I want to boost sales, therefore goes to. Production committee. Production committee contacts studio. Studio produces anime. Therefore, manga gets a little bit more hype. More money is put into the manga. The mangaka gets a little bit more royalties, whatever you want to get into on that. Fine. My point is this is the idea of how, in my head, the money flow is. Now, the interesting thing about what you're saying this company is doing, or this collaboration studio-ish thing is sounding, is they're going to, if the anime makes more money, that money is kicked back to the mangaka. as well. That's an interesting tidbit. So if that goes back to the mangaka, then if the manga gets more money, then that money goes back to the studio.
I don't think that's going to... No, when they say creators, I don't think they're necessarily talking about the mangaka, honestly.
Well, no, the mangaka should be getting more money.
Yeah, he's with Shueisha. Them making Jōen is not going to change what is happening within Shueisha. It could.
I'm agreeing with you that, yeah, the mangaka is getting more, and plus that money is also transferred back to the animators.
Might possibly, yes.
That sounds good in theory, but unless you get to a point where this becomes some kind of weird conglomeration of just a massive hydra, I don't see how money would travel back and forth between them.
So
I said, I agree. It sounds good in theory, but I don't see how that would work feasibly without if they were to promise this is going to get turn into a mess very quickly. And I agree with you that hopefully we'll know at the end of all this how things are working. But I just don't see it working that well.
I think that's the big question mark is, again, how is this going to work? And they're not giving us details. So here's my guess, educated guess on exactly how this would work. Because yes, the big question mark is why would Shueisha want to get involved? I mean, Shueisha is going to get less money. There's no benefit to Shueisha. Cloverworks gets benefit. They get Shueisha's properties. Wit Studio gets benefit. They get Shueisha's properties. And again, they get technically job security. They have stuff flowing into them constantly, hopefully. Aniplex is benefiting because they're the producer. They're going to make benefits somewhere. They're going to have some overhead there. They're going to invest the money, and they're going to get money back. But Shueisha, what is Shueisha benefiting? They could find anybody to animate their stuff. It's not as if they're getting studios to work with. The hope here is that this is creating a sort of lack of overhead. Like, if they can get more tightly knit and they can essentially alleviate crunch, hopefully, that this will benefit them because they're working so closely together. They don't have a lot of in-betweens. They don't have a lot of overhead. And they don't have to worry about pulling in people, wasting time. They have a focus. This is the crew we're working with, and we're always going to work with this crew. Again, that's assuming that Cloverworks and Wit Studio is going to have plenty of work in this project, that they don't have to work outside of that. Now, again, to reiterate the system before, like Chris mentioned, publisher discovers mangaka. Mangaka basically sells them their property so they can publish it and then, yeah, give the mangaka money for publishing it. They make lots of money. At some point, they decide, you know, look, we can sell more if we had an animation. So we need an advertisement, basically. So they put together, typically they'll put together a production committee, pull a group of investors together, and they go to the studio, and the studio makes the animation. It sells bonkers. They make more money. The publisher makes lots of money. Studio just gets whatever they pay him to animate them. How I'm assuming this could work, based on what they're saying and the idea they want more money to go back to the animators, nothing in here says anything about making more money go to the publisher. Nothing in here says make more money go back to the producer. All they've stated is they want the creators and the people that work on the animation project to make more money, to live more comfortably. So the only way I can see that happening is that they, yes, alleviate a lot of the overhead. You have these three companies working so closely together, so tight-knit, they did have a lot of overhead removed. Additionally, the other thing, and this is my theory, and I hope this is true because I think this is a really cool concept. And again, happy employees produce better results. So maybe that's Shueisha's mindset, that we can get involved with this whole project and we'll have animators do incredible stuff. These are literally the two studios right now that are taking the limelight. Yes, I love Kyoto Animation. Yes, I love Shaft. Yes, I love Trigger. But the two studios that are, and yes, MAPPA too, I love them too. The two studios that are really in the limelight right now is Wit Studio and Cloverworks. Those are the two people are talking about constantly, outside of MAPPA. They are the premier studios right now. They are doing incredible stuff, and what better group to have at your beck and call for Shueisha to adapt your stuff than those two studios. So that might be the benefit for them. And again, it could actually cost them less money if all the overhead is gone. So my mindset here is, and my hope is that's going to happen, is that Shueisha has a property and they're like, man, this is doing really well. Let's get this done. They go to Joen. They say, Joen, we want to do this. Planet. That's the big key thing there. Planet. Because what's going on right now, so much with animation right now? Leaks. And what better way to alleviate leaks than have this Joen group that everything's tight-knit in? You're not worried about checking with multiple studios and going, hey, can we... Do you guys want to do an anime for this? And then they leak it or something like that. You have this tight-knit group that's all working together. It's its own company, basically. People in Joen are going to be probably people from Shueisha or whatever. So they go to them. They say, make this project. They go to Wit Studio or Cloverworks, and they say, okay, you guys do this part. You guys do this part. And it does so well, the manga starts selling like hotcakes. And Shueisha sees that. And typically, Shueisha doesn't care about the studio. The studio is not involved with them. It's a third party. Why would I give them my money? They just animated it like I asked them to. They did what I paid them for. But now they have this company, this similar investment now. And now they know who worked on the project. Joen knows this person did the key art. This person did this animation. This person did this part. Well, we've seen a huge bump in sales the moment episode 3 happened. And you know what? This key animator worked on that part. Let's give them a bonus. That's my hope. That's my hope. That's my big pie in the sky. But I think when I try to think it more logically and more business-driven, more profit-driven, what this probably will end up being is probably more in the idea that since there's such a low overhead, because they feel like Cloverworks and Wit Studio can't handle their own money and they can't handle planning properly, that this is all an attempt to remove a lot of overhead, allow Joen to handle a lot of that kind of stuff, to pay them properly, distribute funds properly. That way everybody's kind of a big happy family. That's probably the more realistic look at the whole situation. And additionally, like I said before, because they're so closely in line with Shueisha and Aniplex, these studios will be able to know far ahead of time what they're working on because they don't have to worry about leaks. They can pre-plan this stuff so that you don't have Cloverworks killing themselves to animate stuff at the last minute. They'll have plenty of time to really work on these projects, and they don't have to worry about leaks because they are pre-working on it. So, agree? Is my pie in the sky too far up there for you, or do you think my realistic viewpoints were
in line? It actually goes right into what I was saying earlier about the idea of, in a lot of cases, it's in the company's best interest to pay their quote-unquote, whatever you want to call them, in this case, it's animators. It's in their best interest to pay their animators more. Because what'll happen is...
It draws in the best.
Yes.
The best exactly. of the best.
It does that. And if they don't, that person becomes too valuable and somebody else will snipe them. Mm-hmm. This company over here will say, okay, that is a very valuable animator right there. I want that animator on my team. I will offer them twice what they're paying him right now. That's how it works. That's how the system technically has worked.
Look at a lot of key animators and anime directors. You basically have them there all over the place. There are so many different studios.
That's why I said they need to value themselves more, because what should be happening is the animator says, I am worth $30 an hour. You're paying me $15 an hour. I want $30 an hour. If you don't pay me $30 an hour, that company over there is willing to pay me.
Have you guys heard of Joen? And the conversation just stops.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the hope. And that's the hope.
And that,
if they do this right, they're basically nurturing this mindset that, well, Joen's doing it. Why can't you guys do it? That's the hope. Now, granted, it hasn't worked with Kyoto Animation. Nobody goes, well, Kyoto Animation's paying their animators right. So there is a little bit of me to draw back and say, well, it didn't work here. How's it going to work here? But again, it's kind of, again, if they're telling the truth, it's a powerful statement. not just to the industry, but to every other studio. Why aren't you doing this? And again, they have the door open for other studios. They said that earlier. They want connections to other studios. Other studios might get involved with this. They may become branched under this as another studio that they can throw stuff to on a regular basis.
And going back to what Andrew was talking about earlier, the overhead that we're talking, that he's probably kind of lightly sprinkling on here, is the production committees. The production committees, basically, you have too many hands in the cookie jar. Everybody's putting their hands in and saying, I'm worth this much. I put this much money in, therefore I need to get this much money out of it. In a lot of cases, it's fair to be honest. I mean, when it comes down, fair and unfair at the same time. So take that into consideration, because some of these companies are doing this for, like, you have your figure companies who want the rights to make the figures. And so they put in a certain amount of investment. They should get that investment back, and plus they get the rights to make your Madoka Magica figure, or company who's putting in money to get the rights to be able to have some of the visuals for their to attach onto whatever thing that they're trying to sell. Like, I can think back to the Love Live merch being an orange thing that they did that caused an uproar recently. That each one of these companies, they want to put in an amount to get that amount back, plus the rights to be able to use those visuals.
I can see merch being another thing that could possibly filter back in the studio as well. Again, it's something that's really just kind of unheard of, but in actuality could technically be beneficial. I mean, the example on how that kind of stuff is kind of weird is, again, Kyoto Animation kind of stands outside of the norms with a lot of this stuff. You'll see a lot of stuff that is, you know, within their Kyoto Animation shop and stuff that is technically benefiting them, even though they're not technically their properties. And you have things like Hyoka. When Hyoka was sort of having its anniversary thing, everybody was getting excited, and it's like, yeah, but it doesn't mean that Kyoto Animation is making another season. It's just that, you know, was it Kodokawa or whatever is celebrating it. But it's still, they're using the assets that Kyoto Animation made, because, again, they own it. So there was some sort of agreement that they had with Kyoto Animation, but typically, these studios don't really have the rights to just run out there and start making a bunch of merch. Again, they were paid to make the animation, they make the animation, transaction done. And again, why does it benefit these companies? And again, that's the big question mark that keeps coming up in my head, is why does Shueisha care? Again, I think that might be them trying to create a new norm, because they want, maybe they do see there's somebody talk them into there being a benefit to building this system, to a benefit. And it could be that Shueisha is not involved really at all. Like, they're just there by name, but they're not really involved at all. They put in their collateral, they put their money in there, they figure it would be a nice little publicity stunt. They don't really care. Could be. But there's also this idea that what if the idea is that if I have Cloverworks and Wit Studio and they're getting paid right and they have the best animators possible in there, we created the new biggest trend. We created the next biggest studio that has the best and brightest minds in it. They're getting paid well. They're producing things that make Ufotable look like a joke. What better way to sell your manga than to have the best of the best working on it?
Now, to be fair,
it worked for Demon Slayer. There you go. Why would Shueisha do this? It worked for Demon Slayer. And they probably paid a pretty penny to have that done, too.
To be fair, I when I say that the big old weird Hydra thing out of this entire thing of the money going back and forth between companies, I'm not saying that, thinking of it from the perspective of these companies, and I don't want to say it this way, but the only way that I could make it make sense in my head is if all four of these companies just randomly completely merged and Joein is the name of these four companies from now on. That would make sense. My problem is the idea of, why would one company who gets the value out of this, when we're talking about the production committees all having their hands in a cookie jar, demanding the money from that cookie jar. That's the problem as it is right now.
I mean, that's what I said earlier. That's why I'm trying to justify each one of these, because you really do have to think that these are companies, and in the end of the day, they're not looking for charity.
Yeah.
They're not looking to pay animators because they just feel like they want to be nice today.
Yeah.
JoAnn can't exist unless there is a benefit to each of these companies to put their money out there.
And that was my point. I'm not.
It's the sad reality.
Yeah. I'm not trying to downplay what this is doing. It's the conglomeration of this is confusing, because I can't. The way I'm trying to think of it is, if I was the head of one of these companies, I'm basically promising.
Can I have some money?
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to promise that to Wit Studio and CloverWorks as Shueisha. I'll let you have my property. You can do something from it. If I get a benefit from it, that's a good thing. However, me taking my benefit and then giving it to you doesn't make sense in my head.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say, because when it comes down to it, a shrewd businessman, what we're talking about is very shrewd businessmen. Like I was talking about earlier, they each are set up in such a way that they will scrimp and save, so that when in the future, someday, when I need that money, I can still use that money. That's the way they look at this stuff.
Yeah, they went through a crash.
Yeah, they're not just willy nilly throwing
and
money.
We're not saying that's a good thing. They don't pay their staff right because they're hoarding a bunch of money. We're not saying that's a good thing. It's just that's how a company survives a lot of those things, and that might be their mindset.
And in my mindset, trying to think of it from that perspective, I see no benefit in my profits going to a company that's technically not creating what I am doing. All they did was made 12 episodes of a show 10 years ago. And I'm saying in an exaggerated form so that people can get through their heads what I'm trying to say. Let's say this year they've founded themselves. They make a 12 episode show right now. 10 years from now, I'm making 500% profit on my manga, because for whatever reason, my mangaka is making a really great chapter. Why in the world would I send that?
I wouldn't Clover think that. I doubt they would do royalties. I think bonuses is probably what it would be.
And that's my point, is that the way that I'm looking at it from my perspective as a business is, why would I give them something for something that I'm working on? I see no benefit. And now, if that's why I was saying, if they were to continue their works in some way, shape, or form, like if they were to promise, if CloverWorks was to say, yes, from now on, every time you have enough manga for me to make a 12 episode series or a 12 episode core, I will constantly make that show. That would make sense.
He's like a lock-in, yeah. Because I mean, what's the big issue with Wit Studio, everybody? What is the ongoing joke right now with Wit Studio, everybody? They never continue a series. Somebody else picks it up. MAPPA has picked up so many. I don't know if they've confirmed Vinland Saga went to MAPPA, but I mean, you had Attack on Titan went to MAPPA, and I think some other property went to somebody else. But the joke is that they can't finish their stuff. And if you have a lock-in with Wit Studio, I think that's a huge thing. And look at, what's the weird thing between CloverWorks and Wit Studio? CloverWorks more vibrant, more kind of geared towards
cutesy shows.
You know, cutesy shows, and yeah, more drama-driven shows. Yeah, again, Wonder Egg Priority did have some crazy action scenes in it, but for the most part, it's mostly drama-driven type shows. What's Wit Studio?
Action.
Mostly action.
You have
the two pillars there. So when they're saying we'll deviate to who needs to what, yeah, Wit Studio would take care of the action scene. CloverWorks would take care of the less action scene.
Again, yeah, I was thinking,
can do it, but
I was thinking more along the lines of possibly more shonen and shoujo. So they would get all the shoujo shows, and Wit Studio would get all the action-y shows, which it, when it comes down to it, I'm just thinking along those lines. And you're right, more the cutesy stuff is well over on Cloverworks, but and technically it's not like Wit Studio can't do that stuff. They're just more driven towards action-y stuff.
Yeah, like I said, I think the big... Let's be honest. Right now, the thing that we're debating so much with this entire thing is Shueisha. Shueisha doesn't make sense. We don't... Everything about this makes sense, except Shueisha. What is Shueisha doing here? And that's the big question mark. And is that because they've just formed really good relationships with Shueisha? It could be. It could be as simple as they've been... Aniplex have been working with Shueisha for so long, they just talked them into just having their name there. And they're not really involved at all. They're just there as a name. We wanted to have a publisher involved with this project. We need your name on this thing. And we've been working well together. We'll make sure that we don't tarnish it. I don't think that's really going to happen. I don't think they would agree to that kind of thing. But again, it could just be relations, and they wanted a name there. But again, the benefit that we could have here is having a stable place to always put your stuff to. Like what I was saying earlier about getting rid of overhead. Yeah, it technically is your production committee, less hands in the pot. It's just these three. Like with the studios, the publisher, the producer, could which is Aniplex, and the publisher, Shueisha.
Could you imagine if Good Smile randomly popped up and said, "Hey, we're joining, join," and it'd be all over at that point. It's done.
Just for the merchandise and stuff.
Yeah,
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. They have a lot of relations everywhere. Good Smile Company is a very big name. So, but no, So the mindset here is that, yeah, having the removal of so many hands in the pot can technically reduce a lot of the overhead. And yes, having the simplicity, that there's something to be said about simplicity that a company can be drawn to. This idea that Shueisha no longer has to have a group that constantly is looking for the right groups of people, having to put together a production committee, having together people that you don't agree with, that you're all going to have to come to an agreement with a project, all these things you're going to have to get your hands into, there could be a benefit to Shueisha finally being able to go, okay, all we have to do is call up Joen. Joen handles it. We don't have to worry about anything else. All we do when we want to do this project, all we do is call up Joen. And Joen handled it. We don't have to worry about setting up anything. They just do it. And yes, knowing that every time you want to produce something or you do another season of something, it's the same studios. You still have the same quality. And yes, like we said earlier, nurturing those two studios to the point where they do such an excellent job and they have the best of the best because they pay so well would lead to them having better quality stuff. And because one of the unfortunate things that we've always talked about for a long time, whenever it comes to bad adaptations, man, I'm getting stuck on that word again, bad adaptations. With bad adaptations is it's this idea of them just not caring. As long as you get the first two episodes done, that's all the company needs to sell a product. There's an argument out there that they see a huge influx of sales with the first and second episode of an anime airing. Because that's the advertisement. They just got their trailer out there. Everybody's seen those first... Typically the first episode, sometimes the second episode. They've seen those first two episodes, and everybody went out and started buying up the manga. It's all they needed. The rest of it, they don't even care. So there is an argument for some people, and there's oddities. I think Dress Up Darling did pretty well, like, throughout the entire showing of it. I think 86 did really well throughout the entire airing of it. There's some of them that will continuously push the source material to be sold. But there is a lot of cases where it's the first couple episodes and everybody buys the source material and they read on and they don't even care about the anime anymore. Again, it's an advertisement. But having that, what was I going with this? there's something we just said that there's a lot of cases where having that bad adaptation tarnish the name of your source material can be seen as a bad thing. And it does ruin potential future sales. Somebody checked out the anime and it was like, oh, this did really terribly well. I don't really care to check out the manga or the source material. But to have that constant flow of a fantastic... And again, we have prime examples of this. A fantastic adaptation that really sells a larger audience. The audience that just never gets tapped into. Demon Slayer. My Hero Academia. Attack on Titan.
We have so many examples where, and again, this was my whole argument when I made my video shoot a year and a half ago about the death of the old shonen. The death of shonens that are just, they just put it together enough that it moves. Put plenty of still shots flying across the screen with characters angry for 5 to 10 minutes long, entire episodes of Goku charging up. Getting rid of these poorly paced and just shambled put together adaptations that just build this audience around the anime. No, let's create high quality animation that just gets people so invested in the show that they cannot help themselves but get that source material. And we're talking large gaps in difference in sales for the source material than your typical stuff. And I think that's there. They may see that in the idea that you had Ufotable working on Demon Slayer. You had such high quality pumped into My Hero Academia and so on and so forth. And they might see that. Shueisha might see that as an investment worthy of putting... Might not be much of an investment. Like I said, should it just be Shueisha there? They threw a little money at it and they said, okay, as long as we know that we can call you whenever we need you, it could be that simple. We don't know. But the promise is there. And again, four companies have their name on this website saying they are, what was the exact statement here? We aspire to introduce a new structure for those involved in creation of animation.
Now, to be clear, from my side, I think that if this works out, it could basically, and just like I said earlier, it'll shake everything up. This could rival the big names like Sunrise or even KyoAni. I mean, it can rival them, if not outright just take the top spot. Like Andrew was saying earlier, the two names that have been shaking things up lately is Wit Studio and Cloverworks. There's a reason why. And taking Aniplex and Shueisha, I mean, you have all the Jump properties like Andrew was talking about. You're talking about major, if this all works out, they are one of the biggest, this will become one of the massive names that from now on you will be going, what is this season's Joen show? Because you're going to want to know. It's that massive when it comes down to it.
There's going to be an element of watching it. That was the same thing with Twin Engines. When Twin Engines happened, we were watching it like a hot, or at least I was. I was very curious. I mean, yes, a lot of bad stuff came out of that, but a lot of really good stuff did too. And that was a very interesting thing because that was pulled out of Noitamina. It was like this thing that was birthed out of Noitamina, and we were loving Noitamina. It was like this art block of just very artsy stuff that was just not your typical harem shows and your bubbly shows and your school shows. It was doing different things that were artsy. Yes, artsy fartsy, but it was different. And seeing Twin Engine come out of that, unfortunately, like I said, a lot of flubs, but it was interesting. And I think Joen will be the same thing. I think Joen will be this next thing that we will be curious. Because again, the thing that we're going to be watching is it's going to take time. They're going to have some time to start getting new projects going and really settle in before we go, okay, so what are the animators saying? Or we're actually going to probably see it first. The animators are going to pop up and say, nothing's changed. This is the same thing we've always been dealing with. And like I said, there's people, I don't know if they still work at Cloverworks. I don't think they really have a problem with it. There's a lot of people at Cloverworks that are very vocal about when things aren't going well. We've seen it with, the district, 24th Ward. They were talking about how that wasn't going well way back 2 months before it even started airing. They knew things weren't going to go well. And sure enough, they didn't go well. While the other teams, like with the Dress Up Darling, were just going, fine, everything's done, we're good. It is something we will definitely hear about, and I hope that it's a good thing. I hope wholeheartedly that's a good thing, because again, nothing feels worse than enjoying a show and realizing pretty much the literal blood, sweat, and tears that's being put into it. It hurts, honestly. I mean, that's just like whenever we hear about an animator getting sick and stuff, it's like, please, or a mangaka that is ill, it's like, please just take your time. Please don't push yourself. I don't want to. I know it's taken upon myself, but literally the inside of you is saying, I don't want to read something knowing that this dude was hurting. I want them to enjoy what they're doing. Anyways, the final statement that they have a final statement. It says, we strive to support the animation industry and related ventures by taking a supporting role and allowing the people involved in planning, production, and distribution to take center stage. We like to rise the challenge of establishing a new framework for the animation industry through cooperation with those that help us accomplish this goal. Supporting creativity, empowering creators. Again, more bold statements. It's very much a continuation of those bold statements. We'll see. That is, like I said, I think the big takeaway from this whole thing is promises and will they be kept? And like I said, with a very vocal, and again, like I said, technically a lot of this is literally saying we want to pay and support and pay the creators. This isn't saying Shueisha wants more money. This isn't saying Aniplex wants more money. All their promises is in this new design that should help facilitate paying the proper channels properly rather than it going through and just this. I think, like I said before, I think Kyoto Animation is a very special case when, for those who don't know, I don't know if I really fully explain this. How Kyoto Animation works, yes, they've done things for production committees. I mean, like I said earlier, Hoka was Kadokawa, whatever. They did, was it Square Enix? Maid Dragon. It's technically not their property. But in a lot of cases, Violet Evergarden. How did Violet Evergarden be created? That's a weird way of putting it. How was Violet Evergarden created? So you have, Kyoto Animation does this award thing, where they allow people to submit their writings into this whole raffle thing, or not raffle thing, this competition. And then Kyoto Animation will look through all the submissions and they will choose the one that does the best, the one story that hit them the best. And they will award them the Kyoto Animation Award for best writing, whatever. And in agreement that Kyoto Animations or Kyoto's studios will publish that written work. In addition, they will then take and adapt it if they feel like they want to. And we've seen that with Violet Evergarden. But Evergarden went from a book somebody submitted to their competition. It won. And then they made it into animation and into a movie. And it was a huge success. Everything is internal. Somebody submits written work. They publish it. And then they adapt it. That's not really something you see in any other studio. Like I said, most other studios is, all we do is animate stuff. Give us something to animate. Company comes along, says, hey, we're a production committee, animate this, here's the money for it. They do it, and the transaction's done. Move on with your life. So I think the idea of changing the framework to essentially be a Kyoto Animation, let's be honest, it's technically what Joen is. It's a publisher. It's a producer. It's a studio. It's all in one. Possibly they're trying to echo what Kyoto Animation is doing. All you need in here is to branch off to Animation Training Center. Then you have Kyoto Animation right there.
All they need is a shop. They need to absorb Trigger.
Does Trigger have a training group?
That was the whole thing of that's how, what was it? Magic Academy. That's what that was started with.
Oh, well, that was like the whole shorts ceremony thing. What was it called?
Mirai?
Project Mirai? I don't think that was Trigger, though. But I know they got their big through that. Because, yeah, like Death Billiard was through there, too.
Yeah.
It's a lot of really good stuff there. Anyways, but yeah, I think it might be that these are trying to do that. Maybe they see that benefit. But again, the thing that I keep falling back on is, what is Shueisha doing? Like, what are you doing here? And again, I think that's probably the only benefit that I see in Shueisha is possibly just trying to nurture a solid group of people that will animate their stuff to the best ability. And I think that there is, I think there is something to be said about a lot of these publishers. And from the mindset of a publisher, if I'm a publisher, there is probably a bit of insecurity when it comes to who you choose. Like we've always talked about wanting to be a fly in the wall with the production committee, like see what they are talking about. Because, I mean, there's a part of me that almost wants to know if it's them sitting around going, all right, so which studio can we have do this? And they're like, well, we talked to Wit Studio. They said they're booked for the entire year. Like, a lot of these studios are just booked. That was why MAPPA, that was the theory that a lot of people had, or at least the statements that were coming out, was the reason why they moved Attack on Titan to MAPPA was because Wit Studios said, we're booked. We don't have room. There was other people saying that was because Wit Studios said, we're tired of animating that show and it takes too much effort. And they were trying to downsize to things like Ranking of Kings, but I highly doubt that. Because they were still doing a lot of other crazy stuff when it switched to MAPPA, which was like two seasons ago or two adaptation cores ago, whatever. But it could just be this idea of like, do they have that difficulty of, we need to find a studio first, a studio that has room. We need to publish. We need to do this now. Like, the fire is hitting on this new manga that we're doing. We need a show now. And they just don't have that available. Maybe this will allow Shueisha to have that channel of, no matter what, once we need something, they'll do it. They'll make it happen. They'll start to putting together now to get it done. Now, that's the fears there, is that it will create crunch that we were talking about earlier. This could alleviate, but they know ahead of time. They know the sales. They know the projections. They know the market. They know what's hitting. That's like the whole argument of why they keep doing Isekai. They know it's big, and so they're going to keep doing it. They'll see eventually some point, hey, Mecha's coming back. And guess what? They're going to hit that Mecha. They know the projection. They know the trends. And they could possibly see something ahead of time. But again, that's all. I keep talking about Shueisha. That's because, again, that's the only oddity here. So anything else from your end?
No, I think we, like, way overkilled this donkey.
What?
Horse. Kicked the horse.
Beat the dead horse?
Yeah.
Beat the dead horse. It is interesting to note that their principal business is going to be TV series. They've already kind of established that. Feature films, of course, along with that, and short clips. I'll be curious what the short clips thing. Maybe that's, like, advertisements and stuff for companies, maybe.
On a closing note, though, like I said earlier, I think this is going to be a fantastic thing. If it catches hold, like I said, this could rival Sunrise or some of the big names. I mean, Sunrise, going into what Andrew was mentioning, they've got basically merchandise companies on lock. They have basically four studios underneath them. They have the entire production committee. They own these properties, and they do everything in house. Just like Andrew was saying with KyoAni, they do everything in house. This could rival that kind of stuff, where they are just a massive group that could just delegate this stuff left and right. And like Andrew was saying, if they are really willing to have that open door where other companies can come in and just become a part of this, this could be nothing but good things. However, there is a lot of pause in this because, again, like I said, what is the benefit to Shueisha? It is the only questionable aspect to this. Why would they give up their profits? That makes no sense to me. However, the idea of them having a direct pipeline to these studios is massive. And yeah. I like I said, if they are constantly, if this extends out the anime for better clarification, like I had mentioned earlier, if we had that Spice and Wolf and they started it, and throughout time, anytime there was enough content to make another season, they had a direct line to make that would make sense as to why they would give up their profit for that product. As it stands right now, that's questionable. However, if this does work out and you have that kind of a system all set up and they are willing to do that, it can be nothing but good things, because this is a massive, really cool idea if they actually do this.
Yeah, that's why I think with Shueisha, I think it's just to have that pipeline, that stability really in play. Because like I said, I don't think that there's any thoughts whatsoever of Shueisha giving up royalties or anything. I think if anything, it'll just be direct pay, a stable channel, a direct pipeline, trusted people they've always worked with. Technically, Joen is going to have people from Shueisha. And then having that ability to, yeah, if we do see a huge increase in sales, maybe they want to do that. Maybe they want to do those bonuses. There's a possibility that a lot of these companies, in order to nurture a great relationship with these studios, there's a possibility they want to give a bonus to these companies. There's a thought that maybe with Demon Slayer, maybe they wanted to give Ufotable a bonus. But maybe they just don't want to because they know that's just going to be eaten up by the studio heads. Like, no, we would love to give it to the animes. There's a possibility they want to nurture that relationships. We constantly talk in business standpoints, like business, obviously, because that's the reality here. But there is a side of us that there's a side that every now and then that makes you wonder, like, is there a possibility they do want to nurture positivity? They do want to nurture these animators that are doing an incredible job on their property. If I was the owner of Demon Slayer and I watched what they did with my property, I want to go in there and give every single one of those people a hug. Like, look, you did an incredible job with my animation here. This is exactly what I envisioned, or this is better than what I envisioned. Where's the person that I need to hug for this? There is a thought there. And granted, I don't think it's going to be the publisher. It's probably going to be more the creator themselves, but that is the interesting thought process there. But yeah. Yeah, closing statements for myself is, yeah, I'm going to have pause here, but like I said earlier, I don't see a company needing to make these statements to get attention on Joen. Joen was going to have attention based on Cloverworks, Switch Studio, Aniplex, and Shueisha being a part of it. The biggest publishing company of manga, one of the biggest producers in the anime sphere, Sony and Aniplex, the biggest name studios right now that everybody's talking about. Again, MAPPA's great, but MAPPA's kind of hiding with tons of PBs. Shaft is great. I would argue kind of has fallen off a little bit. They're focusing too much on mobile games. They need to get back into the good stuff like Bakemonogatari again. The biggest names right now is Wit Studio and Cloverworks. They are taking everybody's attention. And unfortunately, a lot of it is negativity around especially Cloverworks. So they don't need to have these promises to make a statement. I can argue that you would hear everybody crambling. Yeah, granted, I would probably say it would probably, this news would bleed a little more into the non, I guess, anime industry enthusiast. To just the word that animators getting paid better is going to catch people's attention that don't really care about Wit Studio and Cloverworks and Aniplex and all that. But I think the problem is that you're risking the idea that in 2 years somebody comes out and says, like I said before, nothing's changed, and they promise this stuff. They're going to be under, and again, that's that whole argument of Shueisha being involved. Why would Shueisha be involved in this unless there was a benefit? We've already kind of claimed our thoughts on what the benefits will be. But in the end, would they put their name out there with these claims? It's nothing but bad press. Why would you do it? Unless Shueisha specifically, I think of all of them, Shueisha knows this is going to be a good thing and they will get paid. If they don't, again, Shueisha not getting that much benefit that we're seeing anyways, I don't think they would do it if they don't plan on actually following through. So we'll see. We'll see. All signs right now points that I want this to happen. And like I said, I want this to be a benefit and it to be the wave of the future. Like they said, setting standards for the future for all studios and all production committees and all publishers to really nurture those that really put efforts into their stuff and make people, you know, take notice of your source material. There's so many source material. I mean, Bind sold me on Mushoku Tensei. Bind did. Nobody else did. Bind did. That's a statement. Bind, Studio Bind made me go out and spend hours a week trying to find all these dang volumes that are missing now because they don't have them. They're not republishing them or not producing them again.
They're probably missing for a reason.
Yes, partly because of the storage of paper, but yes, probably because everybody wants to buy them. Seven Seas. They'd be great if you would republish them rather than publishing new weird stuff that nobody wants to buy. But that's an argument for another time. That's an argument for another time.
But yeah, I would love to hear from you guys. I already did technically, like I said, a video. It was a very short video compared to this one because, of course, me and Chris are going to talk a lot about different things about the animation world. But yeah, definitely let us know your guys' thoughts. I already did call out pretty much in our Discord, but if you want to go on our Discord, we have a link at otakuspirit.com. Go join there. We'll have a post for this particular AnimeCast podcast thing on there under the AnimeCast podcast. And you can just reply to us there. Let us know what your thoughts are on this. Do you trust this? Are you cautiously optimistic? I think we're pretty much in the cautiously optimistic territory, right? I mean, an easy place to be. Like, we understand that it can flub, but we kind of think that it shouldn't flub. It shouldn't. But yeah, that would be interesting. And technically, if this is on YouTube, you guys can reply there as well. But
insert Hachikuchi saying that she flubbed that.
Flubbed it, yeah. I have to insert that all the time. I need to make a little soundboard just to do that. But anyways, it was a fun discussion. I'm glad that it got us over an hour and a half of discussion, because at some point in there, I was kind of like, crap, it's only be like 50 minutes. It always does that. We always think there's going to be a discussion podcast, and it just ends up going. But anyways, as usual, we definitely appreciate everybody that listens to us, supports us, watches our YouTube videos, watches us on Twitch, twitch.tv/otakuspirited with an ED at the end of it. All the links are at otakuspirit.com. We also have a merch site that's shop.otakuspirit.com. I flubbed it. shop.otakuspirit.com. Additionally, if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can go to twitch.tv/otakuspirited and you can Prime us there just to support us in a way. Since you're already paying for Prime, you might as well throw us your Twitch Prime. That we definitely appreciate that there. Additionally, we have a Patreon account and a tips link. And also, we have technically a, what's it called? Super Thanks or something like that on YouTube. If you find any of our YouTube videos, you can Super Thanks. It's kind of like Super Chat, I think, that you can do it that way as well. There's plenty of places that you guys can support us, subscribe to us, listen to us, share us out. It is definitely like one of the best ways that you can support us, just telling people about us. We definitely appreciate everybody that does. Additionally, like I said earlier, definitely appreciate everybody that supports us through Patreon. It definitely means a lot to us that people are willing to monthly donate to us to keep things going. So,
side note, those of you who play Minecraft.
It started.
If you are interested in joining the Otaku Spirit server, contact Seismic Wolf, and he will possibly set you up.
We're not leaving it completely open.
Probably
a good thing.
If the
Discord is open. If you click on the Discord on otakuspirit.com, it's the door's open.
Get to know everybody.
I don't know if it's a good thing to keep the Minecraft server open to anybody.
Yeah.
You might have to talk a little bit in the Discord before. Yeah.
Get to know everybody and then send Seismic a message and he will let you in, probably.
Tabun.
But yeah, for those of you who are regular members, you are more than welcome to message him and he will probably set you up.
Yep. All right. Well, that's a wrap. We almost made it to an hour and 45 minutes, the usual time that we do our discussionals we aim for. So do you want to just dead air for the next five? No, I'm joking. Thank you all for listening. We hope that you all enjoyed, and y'all take care.
Ose.